to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Hello, friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our broadcast. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. For the record, it is May the 3rd, 2008. Now, brothers and sisters, I am so excited. This is our maiden voyage. This is our first broadcast. This is going to be the first of many. Now, who is The Watchman's Cry? Well, in these last days, God is raising up voices, He's raising up messengers, and He's raising up ministries to speak to His people. And I'm happy to proclaim that I am one of those voices. My name is Nathan Liao, a watchman. And my burden is for you, the listener, wherever you are, wherever you may be. Now, I use the term last days or end times because, folks, we are in the end times. We are in the last days. The events that are taking place in the world right now are end time events prophesied in Scripture. Now, that being said, the whole purpose of this broadcast is to address, to visit, and to study these end time events. In addition to studying and observing these events, we're going to discuss preparing for these events that are coming upon the earth. We're going to discuss how these events are going to affect you and your family. We're going to discuss the roles that you, the listener, will play in these last days, because brothers and sisters, believe me, you will be playing a role in the things that are coming upon the earth right now. Now, there's several elements that we are going to touch on when we discuss the end times. We're going to be discussing these topics in several broadcasts. It's going to take many, many broadcasts to discuss these because the study of end time Bible prophecy is so vast, it's so huge, and it's going to take a long time to really be able to dig into the Scriptures, to dissect the Scriptures, and to really study them. Now, in these last days, there are a lot of people that have their opinions about what's going on. There are a lot of people that are teaching end-time Bible prophecy. There are a lot of people that are writing books about end-time prophecy. But the interesting thing is, brothers and sisters, is that some of the opinions that are out there are opposite from one another. And if there are some opinions about end-time Bible prophecy study that are opposite from one another, then that means that some of the opinions are wrong. And that's what we're going to do, is we want to find out and study and see what the Bible has to say about end-time Bible prophecy. A lot of people are afraid to study prophecy, and unfortunately, brethren, some of the things that are being taught in Bible colleges today are wrong. Now, some of the pastors that are out there behind pulpits today were taught information that has just been repeated over and over and over, and we're going to discuss that information because, ladies and gentlemen, if we are taught wrong in Bible prophecy, that means that some of the signs that we are looking for in Bible prophecy may not even exist and may not even be a realistic thing to be looking for. So, we are going to be dissecting Bible prophecy. We're going to be studying all the elements of Bible prophecy because the bottom line is we need to study the Bible to discover truth. You want the truth. You don't want a fairy tale, right? I don't want a fairy tale. You do not want to hear fables, and you don't want to hear traditions. You want to hear the truth, because if these end-time events are going to affect you and your family, we need to know the truth of what's really going on. And that's what we intend to do with this broadcast. That's what we intend to do with this ministry. That is my burden for you, is to bring the truth to you, because I have been dissecting Bible prophecy for over 20 years, and I want to share what I have discovered with you. It's an exciting time that we are watching a lot of the things take place that were foretold in the Bible. So one by one, we're going to study the different cast of characters that are involved in Bible prophecy. Now, let me just give you a quick rundown of some of the characters involved in Bible prophecy. For example, the beast. We've all heard about the beast. We're going to discuss that. It's going to take, like I said, many broadcasts to discover all these elements, but I'm just naming some of them right off, some of the bullet points of the cast of characters. We have the beast. Who is the beast? Is the beast an actual person? Is the beast a human being? Is the beast an entity? Is the beast representative of a government entity? We're going to discuss that and study that. We're going to discuss the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? What does the Bible have to say about the Antichrist? Now, it's real interesting. Every one of these elements, and we can learn about these elements with Scripture. A lot of these elements have Hollywood added to them. As an example, the word Antichrist is only found four times in the Bible, and a lot of the attributes that have been given to the Antichrist the Bible really doesn't have much to say about it. So we're going to discuss that, folks, because we need to really understand who these entities are. Another thing that we're going to be looking at is the rapture. Now, the rapture has several opinions to it. The rapture, for all of you that are listening, you know what it is. The rapture is when God comes and the trumpet sounds and Christians are taken off the earth to be rescued from what is coming upon the earth. Now, there are varying theories on the rapture regarding the timing of the rapture. When is the rapture going to take place? Is it at the beginning of the tribulation? Is it the middle of the tribulation? Is it the end of the tribulation? Those are questions that we are going to examine, because based on how someone believes in the rapture, that's going to affect their Christian walk. If people are believing that the rapture is going to rescue them from times coming upon the earth, then they really have nothing to worry about. There's really no need to prepare to go through hard times if God's going to rescue us in a pre-tribulation rapture. Now, if we do not think that the rapture is going to happen before hard times come, then that's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect a person's attitude and make them want to be prepared. It's going to affect a person's attitude to realize that there is a need to prepare for certain things. Mentally, there's a need to prepare. Spiritually, there's a need. Even practically, like having food to be stored up, or having a place to go when things really get hot and heated, a place to quote-unquote bug out. So we're going to examine the rapture and the timing, and we're going to examine it from the Bible's point of view, because we do not need to be replacing the Bible with the traditions of man. You do not need to hear the Hollywood version of how things are going to play out. You need to know the truth, because life and death depends on knowing the truth. Okay? Now, some of the other characters, in addition to what I just mentioned, we have the four horsemen of the apocalypse. What does the traditions of man say on the four horsemen versus what the Bible says, what Scripture says? Do they line up with one another, the traditions of man versus what the Bible says? What about the signs to look for in these last days? We are going to examine those. What about the timeline? What timeline are we in? If we are in the last days, what part of the timeline are we in? Now, we've all seen the timeline drawn out in different Bible shows or different prophetic studies, I'm sure, in different books, where you see a line going from left to right and different parts of the line are labeled with the events that are going to come to pass. In that timeline, where are we? Sometimes it makes you wonder if the timeline that we've been told is accurate. Now, just for the record, let me just say this. I fully believe, according to what I read in Scripture, in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, Jesus talks about the end of time, and he gives a list, a chronology of events that are going to take place in the end times. In Matthew 24, give you a chance to either pause this and go get your Bible and get to Matthew 24. Are you there? Okay, here we go. In Matthew 24, in verse 6, Jesus says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So, before the end comes, we're going to have a few events happen. Before the tribulation even starts, we will hear wars and rumors of war. That's what Jesus just said. Now, in verse 7, it says, "Nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." Okay, did you hear that? Verse 7 again. "Nation shall rise up against nation." Now, are we hearing about nations that are rising up against each other? Kingdoms against kingdoms? Are we hearing about wars and rumors of wars? Of course we are. We have a war raging right now in Iraq, and we are hearing rumors that there's another attack of Iran coming by the United States. We hear rumors that Russia is going to invade one of its old states. We have rumors that China wants to get some of its land back. Taiwan. We have a lot of rumors of different countries that want their land back or are unhappy with their neighbors. We have Turkey attacking northern Iraq right now in the news, May 3rd, 2008. So there's a lot of rumors of wars going on right now. And as we read Matthew, it says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. So in verse 7, "Nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine." Now look at that. "There shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." You have heard that right now food rationing has begun in the United States. Sam's Club, Costco, which is a warehouse store here in the United States, in the last week issued a notice to all their customers that there's going to be a limit on how much rice people can purchase. So we even have rationing going on. Now, some people would say quickly, but there's not a shortage of rice here in America. Well, whether or not it's a distribution issue, whether or not there's not really a shortage and these are just precautions, the bottom line is rice has doubled in price in the last couple of months here in the United States. Now, if you look at the news in on our website, on the front page, you can see that we have in there links to news stories from around the world that you can look at for yourself to see that these events are taking place right now. In other countries, there's actually food riots occurring. In Asia, and in Egypt, we've heard about food riots going on. India said they're not going to export any more rice. There's a lot of countries that are starting to get concerned about their supply of food for their citizens. And we see that happening right now. Now, interestingly, we look at Matthew 24. We just read that. There shall be famines on the earth. So I would say that we are witnessing this part of Scripture come true right now. We're witnessing this. Pestilences. We are all aware of the diseases, the SARS disease that was in China that they had to face recently. And then we have the bird flu threat. H5N1 bird flu is a threat that even today our government has let us know it's not a matter of if it will happen, but it's a matter of when. And they're expecting the bird flu to migrate and end up here on the shores of America. So pestilence is a threat in our land right now. In addition to the H5N1 bird flu, there are other diseases. And even if the diseases were caused on purpose by possibly an attack, a terrorist attack, or some crazy person releasing a vial of some deadly germ or virus into the air, whatever the cause might be, we have Jesus mentioning that it is going to happen in our days. We do see all these events happening right now. So, getting back to the question, where are we in the timeline? I would have to say that right now we are witnessing this part of Matthew, Matthew 24. And then look at verse 8. It says, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. So, when you see these things happening, it's the beginning of sorrows. So based on what we are discussing right now, based on what we are witnessing, based on what we can see on the news, I would say that we are in the beginnings of sorrows. We have not entered the tribulation. Now, how long is the sorrow period? How long will this time of sorrows, how long will this last? That is the question that I have no answer for. It doesn't say in the Bible how long it will last. It just tells us to be watchful of these times. So, if you look at verse 8, it says the beginnings of sorrows in Matthew 24. Now, in verse 9, Matthew 24, verse 9, it says, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, they shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sakes. And then shall many be offended, they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Okay, that sounds like Christian persecution. That sounds like a time when Christians are going to be rounded up and taken into prisons, taken into internment camps, taken into detention camps. Now, according to Scripture, this is going to happen, being that that part has not started yet here in America. The Christians are not being rounded up yet. I would say verse 9 has not happened, but verse 7 is happening. Therefore, that places us in the times of sorrows. Now, let me ask you a question. As you look at verse 7 and 8, discussing the times of sorrows, and then you look at verse 9, and it says, then they shall deliver you up, betray one another. Verse 9, they shall kill you. You shall be hated. Christian persecution coming upon the earth. I do not see or read a rapture happening between verse 8 and verse 9. It's not there. So, brethren, listen to me. We need to look at Scripture and we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to have the integrity and to realize that the Bible says what it says. If a man tells you that no, there's the rapture happening between verse 8 and 9. Well, Mr. Bible teacher, if you're telling me the rapture happens between verse 8 and 9, why isn't it right there in front of my eyes? You see, folks, we can't just invent Scripture. We can't twist Scripture to make it sound nice and relaxing. The Bible's not to relax us. The Bible's to give us the truth. The Bible's to reveal the condition of man. The Bible's to let us know about our relationship with God, about our future, about our past, about the plight of sin and what we need to do to be redeemed. Okay? When we read the Bible, we need to be honest with ourselves and admit to ourselves that we can't be following fables. So we're going to visit the study of the rapture in another future broadcast. I'm going to show you now, and I'll just let you know right here and now. This ministry, I, Nathan Liao, a watchman, will tell you this, that the preaching of the pre-trib rapture, which tells people not to worry, that you will escape. That theory does not hold up to biblical scrutiny. Now, when I went to a Bible college, I went to an Assembly of God Bible college. I was in ministry in an Assembly of God church for many years. So I know what is taught. But even when I was in Bible college, way, way deep down in my heart, I had a problem with the pre-tribulation rapture theory because it didn't hold up. I would look at scripture. I would look at Matthew 24 right here what I'm talking about. And because I didn't see a rapture, I wondered and I would ask people, where's the rapture? And they said, but it's there. They say it's there, so don't worry about it. So when I graduated from Bible college and got my credentials, I kept repeating this theory and this fable to others. And, you know, now that I look back, shame on me. Shame on me for just listening to a fable and a tradition of man and not confirming it with scripture. I have come to wake up in this area. And I believe in these last days, God is waking people up and letting them know about this. Because based on how you look at the pre-tribulation rapture theory, it will affect your Christianity. It will affect the urgency that you feel on preparation. It's going to affect the urgency that you feel on your relationship with God, or the urgency you feel, or the concern you feel on maybe a wayward family member that's not right with God. Because if a person is not prepared mentally and spiritually for what is coming upon the earth, when these events happen, there's going to be a lot of people walk away from God. It's going to be a very sad tale, but Jesus knew that this was coming. In fact, he foretells it right here in Matthew 24. It talks about that. It says in verse 10, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now think about that. Many shall betray one another. This is talking about the people of God. This is talking about, in our time, Christians who are supposedly saved, sitting next to you in church. According to this verse right here, it says they will be offended and will betray one another. Now, the day is going to come, folks. The day will come when Christians will start being rounded up by government agents. It's going to happen. The Bible says so. And here's the sad tale. The sad part of that is the reason that people are going to get rounded up is because their names have been turned into databases. And one of the helps that the database the government agents will have in getting names of Christians to round up is that other Christians will turn them in. So there's going to be some events happen in the future, and we're going to discuss that in future broadcasts. What type of events are going to occur to make Christians actually betray one another? That's interesting. What could happen? What sort of lie would be announced on TV or the news or even from the pulpit of a church? What sort of lie would convince Christians that it is a good thing to turn in their fellow brothers and sisters? We're going to discuss those things. Because, brethren, we are going to witness those if we are truly in the end times, and I really believe that we are going to witness in the next few years some interesting things, turn of events. We have to prepare for those. So, we need to be strong. The Bible says only those that will endure to the end will be saved. So, how do we endure? Well, we endure by being prepared. We endure by spiritually getting strong. We endure by filling our lamps with oil. And we endure by preparing our family members. We endure by preparing ourselves with practical means. We endure, and when the mark comes out, when it comes time for the mark, and the only way to get rice and beans is if you have the mark, and if Christians who are expecting the rapture to rescue them have no store of food in their pantry, what are they going to do? They will have no choice but to fall through the hoops to save their own hide, and many will fall away from God, many will walk away from God. So it's going to be a very sad tale that people are going to actually backslide during this time. In verse 12, it's right here. Look at verse 12 in Matthew 24. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold or grow cold. That's talking about Christians sitting next to you, worshiping God right next to you. It says right here, because sin abounds, their love is going to grow cold. They are going to backslide. They're going to walk away from God. So because people have their hope in the pre-tribulation rapture, when these events begin, the ones that are not grounded, the ones that their hearts are not good soil, the ones that don't have the word hidden in their hearts, the ones that have not been taught the signs of the times and the elements of end time events, the ones that don't know the timeline, they're going to be confused because they're going to be looking at the Hollywood fable version. And by the way, let me just say this. The Left Behind series that was published is Hollywood. It's a fable. It's fiction. We had many volumes come out. Mr. LaHaye, God bless him, but it's fiction. It's a fable. So a lot of people that read those Left Behind books are counting on the events to take place and transpire based on what they read in those books. So because of that, people putting faith in fiction rather than their own Bible and knowing the Bible, that's why we're going to see many people wax cold with their love for God and walk away. That's what I'm all about. That's what this ministry is about. We're going to study these things. These broadcasts are going to discuss all these things. I want to prepare you, the listener, for these events. Now, moving on. We just discussed the timeline. So, where are we in the timeline? We are in the time of sorrows. Now, I have a lot of notes right here because I don't want to forget what I wanted to share with you. I feel vigilant in my Christian walk with my family. I feel vigilant. I feel an sense of urgency, brethren. I feel a sense that our time is running out. We need to get prepared as quick as possible because things are happening so fast. Some Christians have a totally opposite attitude of apathy. And it's even interesting that a lot of pastors and ministers whose job it is to protect their sheep and to let them know what's going on when they see danger approaching, their job is to warn their sheep. Unfortunately, even pastors today, there's a phenomenon taking place even among the leadership of the churches here in America that I find amazing, and I never thought I would witness this 20 years ago, but we're also going to discuss that too. So the apathetic attitude in some Christians' walk is directly related to how they view end-time prophecy. So I want to wake you up. I want to warn you, and I want to tell you, when you listen to these messages, it's not going to be happy, happy, joy, joy. God's going to make you rich and give you a fancy car and a Rolls Royce. And don't worry about anything. He just wants to get you out of your poverty and just bless you. I'm not going to lie to you because that lie has been used over and over and it's still being used right now. I'm not going to tell you that lie. I'm going to tell you the truth because I want to let you know that it's time to prepare. There is no faith. There is no nobility in sitting back and not being prepared. Now, you look at the story of Joseph, you look at the story of Noah, when he built the ark for 120 years, he was preparing because God told him to. You look at Joseph, when the famine came to Egypt, he prepared for 7 years in advance. So, over and over, the Bible shows us examples of faith in action means actually doing some things. We need to give God something to work with. For people that say, I don't worry about that, God's going to take care of me, you know what? During these times that are coming, there will be calamities. There will be people who fall by the wayside. There will be Christians that don't make it because they will perish for lack of knowledge, just like the Bible says. So, that's what we're all about, and that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to challenge you with this also. God is opening up the eyes of people in these last days, and people are finally starting to wake up and question whether everything they've been told is true, and I applaud you for that because that's biblical. The Bible says to examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, and that's what I intend to do with you. Now, even in the book of Acts 17, and you can write this down, Acts 17, verse 11, it talks about the Bereans. When Paul went to Berea, it says that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things were true that Paul was telling them. So when Paul told them and revealed to them the gospel, the Bereans were doing what their job was. They searched the scriptures to see if it was true. And folks, the bottom line is this. It's the Bible, period. That's it. Scripture's the bottom line. Now, we have all heard that we should not add or take away scripture, but I see that happening all the time with preachers. I don't know how many times I've turned on the TV to a TV ministry, and I hear the pastor lie right to my face. I don't know how many times it's happened, but it seems to be happening more and more. In fact, I find myself at times getting angry and talking back to the TV, and my son, of course, finds humor in that. In fact, there's been times where I've actually picked up the phone and called their number and asked them, why are you lying to the people? Why are you making up scripture? Twisting doctrine. I've witnessed this in churches also all over the country. Preachers making things up, adding to scripture. And because there is so much vandalism of God's word taking place, we're going to be discussing those very things in future broadcasts. Now, if God has been waking you up recently, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been a Christian long enough, the Christianity and the gospel that you heard 20 years ago, I know that you bear witness right now with me, is not the same gospel you're hearing right now. It has been watered down. It has been turned into something that is snake oil spiritually. It's not the gospel that I was saved under. Now, friends, this epidemic of ministers who are flooding the airwaves with doctrines of devils is at a level that I never thought that it would happen. I really didn't. I didn't think it was possible. Now, unfortunately, this was prophesied in the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Now, go ahead and write that down because I want you to check it out for yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. If you have to pause me for a second while you look it up, go ahead and do that. Okay, unpause. Here you go. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, after their own lusts, the people who don't want to hear the true Bible will hire themselves and bring hirelings and bring teachers and bring pastors or speakers who will just basically tell them what they want to hear because the people have itching ears. And then it goes on, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Did you hear that? Unto fables. Now, have you been listening to fables lately? Have you heard some fables? I hope not, but I'm pretty sure that you have. Now, folks, if we are in the last days, and obviously we are, then that means that this is happening right now. Now, let me say it again. If we are in the last days, that means that fables are being delivered from pulpits right now. That means that unsound doctrine is being spoken from the pulpit now. That means that preachers on TV, on the radio, in your city, are telling the people only what they want to hear. That's happening right now. We're witnessing it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Now, that word perilous in the original Greek means troublesome or dangerous or hard to bear. In other words, in the last days, troublesome and hard to bear times will come. And it goes on in verse 5, 2 Timothy 3, 5, they will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. How many times have you heard somebody tell you that? If you have people that are telling you ungodly doctrine, denying the power of God, if the doctrine is wrong, it says from such turn away. Folks, that's a charge right there. If your pastor's telling you things that aren't true, turn away. You need to find somewhere else to go to church. Don't listen to fables. Don't listen to lies. It's time for us to actually rise up and say, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to have you lie to me. You're a hireling. If you're going to lie to me and give me fables, do you really care about my salvation? Those are hard words, but these times we're living in. You know, over and over, I'll talk to people that when they get home from church on Sunday to go to different churches, I'll ask them, has your pastor been discussing the coming economic problems, the quote-unquote recession in the United States? Has that been addressed at your church? And I keep hearing a resounding no. Over and over, I ask people. I've called people in different states, and I ask them, or are you discussing what's going on with the people? Are you preparing them? And over, I keep hearing the same thing, no. And I have to question, why? Why aren't you preparing the people of God? There is something wrong, folks, with what's going on today in these times. And I believe that we are witnessing prophecy in action, and part of it is the doctrine, the sound doctrine that we grew up with is no longer sound. And now we're listening to fables and lies. Now, this is my burden, folks. My burden is for you that are not being fed. My burden is for the people who get dressed on Sunday morning, who drive to church and spend 1.5 hours of their life listening to words from a pulpit that are really just motivational speeches. Because that's what's happening. No longer do people receive the oracles of God, but instead they're being fed the doctrines of demons. Now, excuse me, Mr. Olstein, God never said to discover the champion in you. My Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Sorry, folks. I'm starting to preach right there, but actually, no, that's okay. That's okay. That's good preaching. Amen? You know what? It's time for us to just single out the ones that are lying to the people of God, the fakes that are out there. And there's a lot of them, and you've witnessed this. And I'm sorry if some of you have not been awakened to this. Then God wants to wake you up to this, what I'm talking about. Now, I just mentioned Mr. Joel Olstein from Houston. There are a lot of others, but there are frauds out there that are just fleecing the sheep. And we're going to spend some time in future broadcasts where I'm actually going to show you and we're going to break open the Bible and compare what they're telling the people to what Scripture says. Because if they're telling people things that are not in Scripture, they're wasting time. They're wasting the people's time. If they're telling you something that is not in Scripture, they're wasting your time. If it's not changing your heart, if it's not changing the heart of your loved one or your child or your husband, who you are burdened with. You know, you're real concerned with some of your family members that are not being changed. And if they're listening to that garbage, then they're listening to that garbage. They're in the wrong place. And folks, in these last days, God is raising up watchmen. I'm not the only one. God is raising up watchmen and messengers and prophets to warn the people, to wake them up. It's time for us to get out of Babylon and to come out from among them so that we don't partake of the sins that are coming upon the land. It's time. So my burden is for you. So God bless you. God bless Mr. Osteen, but his father would roll in his grave if he saw what he was doing right now. I have to believe that. I visited Lakewood Church a few years back, and I actually attended that church for a while under the ministry of Joel Osteen's father, and he was a man of God. But I don't know what happened between that ministry and what's going on now. That's a spirit that has risen up over this entire land, and it is taking over the words and the mouths and the lives and the eyes of a lot of ministers out there. So folks, now more than ever, we need to be vigilant to know what we're being fed is the truth from God. We need to be a part of the end time group of God that's not listening to the lies that are out there. Now the Bible says in Amos 8 verse 11, go ahead and turn to that right now, and if you need to pause me again, pause me. Okay, did you find it? Okay, Amos 8:11, and that's in the Old Testament. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of God." There will be a famine for the word of God in the last days. Folks, how many of you can look around and see that's happening right now? Those days are upon us right now, brothers and sisters. Therefore, my burden is to feed those that are starving for God's word. There are so many out there, and I'm hearing it more and more, that tell me, you know, there's just something not right. I'm not being fed, my family's not being fed, and people are very concerned, and they're waking up, but they don't know what to do. People do not know where to go, what to do. How do I feed my kids, my teenagers that are going through all these struggles, you know, in these evil times? How do I feed them? And that's my burden to you, brethren. I want to be a part in feeding you and your family. I plan to put a lot of broadcasts that will feed you. Okay? So praise God. Praise God for that. Now the Bible predicts and tells us that the condition of God's people in the last days would be very interesting. Now we've all heard in Revelation chapter 3 of the story of the lukewarm church. You've heard about the lukewarm church. We've all heard about it. I submit to you this day, brethren, that the condition of today's church raging across the land is the condition of the lukewarm church of Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, the one that's neither hot nor cold, the one that said that I am rich when really they're poor, blind, and naked. So I'm not saying every single church across the land is lukewarm, but I would say this. The majority of churches that are out there are in the lukewarm condition. Now there's a few small churches here and there that still have oil in their lamps. But for the most part, now I'm not talking about the apostate church. I'm not talking about the churches that are not evangelical. I'm talking about the evangelical churches today, all right? In America, in the West. Now this phenomena is not happening worldwide. It's not happening in China. In China, they're having an explosion. The underground church there, you know, the sacrifice to be a part of the church in China is you might die that day for being a Christian. That's how it is. The last statistic I heard, the underground church in China is in the hundreds of millions. So they're walking in the light of God's word that we have no clue about. But what I'm talking about right now, what I'm addressing is our church. The church where we attend, the churches that we see on the corners. The American church, the Canadian church, the ones in Australia and Europe. I'm talking about the churches of the West. The Western church is lukewarm. It is asleep. It is dead. And it is in need of repentance, in need of revival. The Western church is full of sin. Did you hear what I said? The Western church is full of sin. The Western church tolerates sin. The Western church is full of adultery. The Western church is full of idolatry. And listen to this, brethren. Listen to me. The Western church is full of abortion. I just read a statistic recently, and that statistic, it turned my stomach. It was pathetic, that statistic I read, but I know it's true. I know it's true because firsthand I know it's true. And that statistic said this, half of the abortions that are committed in the United States, in this country, are committed by Christians. They're committed by people with their Christian parents footing the bill. This is why I'm a watchman, folks. The stench of America's sin has reached heaven. The stench of the cup of iniquity, it's full. God's judgment has begun across this land. God's prophets and watchmen have been trying to warn the people for years that God's judgment was coming because of the condition of the American church. And What do you think has happened? The pastors across this land have shut their doors to the messengers of God. Therefore, prepare, prepare, prepare. What is coming cannot be delayed any longer. It cannot be delayed. Now, in the midst of all this mess, the Bible does have some good news. It has good news about a group of people that will be active and involved in the end times. Now, I want to just touch these people. I'm not going to go into it real deep right now because I'm going to spend an entire future broadcast on it. Before I do that, let me share this. In Daniel chapter 12, here's another verse, so get out your Bible again, get out your notepad. Daniel 12. In Daniel 12 verse 8 it says, "And I heard and I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Now Daniel's talking right here in this verse. In other words, Daniel's saying he heard the prophecy, but he didn't understand it. So he was asking the angel that was right there, "Explain what I just saw." And in verse 9, the angel says, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." So even though Daniel had a prophecy and he saw the vision, he didn't know what it meant. And that's another interesting thing about the gift of prophecy. Sometimes people will have a vision or a prophetic dream and they really don't know what it means. So what does that tell us? That means if you, brethren, if any of you happen to have a prophetic dream or a vision and you don't understand it, still write it down. Put it in a journal and put the date on it and maybe share it with some people. Maybe some other people can wonder with you, but sometimes we don't always understand what the vision or the dream means. So that's what happened with Daniel. Anyway, getting back to Daniel, he didn't understand what it meant. Okay, we just read verse 9. Now let's look at 12:10. It says, but before I say that, let me say this. In verse 9, it says, "Seal the words until the end of time." Okay, so the words are sealed. Now in verse 10, what we have in verse 10 is the moving forward to the end times, to our time, where it picks up and it starts describing the conditions and the people at the very, very end of time. So let's look at verse 10. It says, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried." At the very, very end of time, many are going to be purified, made white, and tried. What does tried mean? That means go through some trials, tribulation, some testing. Many shall be made white and tried. Now, if we look at Revelation, the very last book in the Bible, go to Revelation chapter 19. Okay, if you need to pause, go ahead and look. Okay, you there? Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. It's real interesting. Revelation 19 is the chapter that talks about Jesus returning to earth on a white horse. That's the very end. That's after the tribulation is done. We're at the very end of all the horrible events of the apocalypse. Chapter 19 is the good part, when Jesus returns. Okay. It's interesting that if you look at chapter 19, it speaks of the bride. In chapter 19, verse 7, go ahead and read that. Look what it says. Revelation 19, verse 7. It speaks of the bride that has been made white and ready. Interesting, in Daniel it says, "And many shall be purified and made white and tried." And then Revelation 19 says the bride has been made white and ready. Okay, so if both of these groups have been made white, I would venture to say, comparing scripture to scripture, that Daniel 12 is referring to the bride of Christ. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried. That's what Daniel 12:10 is referring to. In Revelation 19, it says the bride has made herself ready. So the word many in Daniel 12:10 refers to the members of the bride of Christ, or it refers to the church, or it refers to us. If this is in our lifetime, that we will be made ready. We will be purified and made white and tried. Now, folks, these two groups of Daniel and Revelation, they have to be the same. Now, hear me on this, okay? We have been told over and over that the bride of Christ is going to get raptured before the tribulation starts. We have been told that the bride is white and ready right now and ready to be raptured. Now, based on what I just described to you on what's going on in the churches with the fraud, with the fables, with the doctrines of demons, with these preachers that have brought the famine on the Word of God, can you really honestly confess, and do you really believe that right now the condition of the church is a bride that has made herself ready, that is purified? Is the bride of Christ right now so pure that God would want them right now? Of course not. Half the preachers out there are backslid themselves. Half the preachers out there are, and it's coming out on the news, that a lot of them, it's been revealed that they're having involved with things that would just turn your stomach. We had the guy, what was his name, from Colorado Springs last year? Ted Haggard, that came out. He was a homosexual and had relations, and he was also into meth, and he was the leader of a church over 10,000 people. He was also the leader of an association of evangelicals, and he got voted on by hundreds or even thousands of ministers that voted on him to be their leader. Now, I would ask you this. If many ministers would vote on an individual that was a homosexual in the closet, if they voted on him, where's their discernment? Okay? The church is sick right now. The church is not purified. The church needs to be purified, but right now the condition of the church is it's not purified. So that's why I'm talking about this right now. Back to Revelation 19. It explains in Revelation 19 that the bride has finally made herself ready. Read that again. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. The bride is finally ready to marry. If the pre-tribulation rapture theory is true, why is the bride finally ready at the very end of Revelation? If the bride was ready before the tribulation started, I would assume that Revelation would be telling us at the beginning of Revelation that the bride is ready. But that's not what we read here. We read the bride being purified and finally being made white a few verses before Jesus gets on the horse and comes back to earth. That's when it mentions it. Therefore, folks, I'm showing you with scripture, okay? Not fables of man, but I'm showing you with scriptures how the bride will not be ready till the end of the tribulation. And it said it went through purging. It was purified and tried. Based on Daniel, many will be purified, made white, and tried. If that's talking about the bride of Christ, what better way to purify the bride of Christ than to put it through a trial of what's coming upon the earth, of the tribulation? That's how the bride is going to get purified, by going through these times. That's when people will get their lives in order. That's when they'll start putting priorities where they're supposed to be spiritually, by going through what's coming upon the earth. By the way, the wedding feast, if you look at Revelation 19, verse 9, the bride has made herself ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. You see that in Revelation 19:9? The marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride is finally ready for the wedding feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. In other words, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the church meets Jesus, Jesus is going to have a wedding feast, right? Now, that wedding feast is mentioned in Revelation 19, that it's finally about to happen. Think about that, okay? Now, why am I bringing that up? Well, when we are at the end of the tribulation, if we see the wedding feast mentioned and then a few verses later Jesus gets on the horse and returns to earth, according to scripture, the wedding feast happens at the end of the tribulation. Here's what's going on. Many of you have been told wrongly that the rapture is going to happen 7 years before Jesus returns to earth, and while the tribulation is going on earth, the church is going to be up in heaven having the marriage supper, having the wedding feast, 7 years before Jesus returns to earth. How many of you have heard that? I'm sure you have. I've seen that chart, you know, that timeline. It goes from left to right, and it's at some point on the timeline, there's an arrow that goes up, and it says, that's the rapture, and then the timeline continues going toward the right. 7 years will go on the earth, and then the timeline continues, and then there's an arrow pointing down. Here's where Jesus returns and sets his kingdom up on earth. But that timeline erroneously has 7 years to the left, that the rapture happens and then the wedding feast is going on in heaven while all the poor, pathetic people that didn't get saved need to endure the tribulation on earth. So we'll be having a banquet up in heaven and then 7 years will go by. That's a fable, folks. That's wrong. It's not true. I was watching John Hagee just recently with his chart, and he showed that. What I'm describing to you right now, I saw John Hagee talk about it. He pointed 7 years to the left, and he said, we're going to go up into heaven, and we'll be having the wedding feast while the tribulation is going on earth. Now, as I heard him say that, I looked at my Bible, and I saw the wedding feast happening right before Jesus comes back. So even Mr. Hagee is preaching fables. And if some of you are you like John Hagee, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. I'm telling you the truth. It's time to stop giving fables to the people of God. We need to know the truth with the Bible. We need to be prepared, because what's coming on the earth is past someone that you might like. What's coming on the earth is going to either be fatal for you or it will be a trial for you. Not everyone's going to make what's about to happen on the earth. Not everyone's going to come out, you know, smelling like roses. It's going to be a struggle. Some people will endure better than others, and it's going to be based on our knowledge of Scripture. Now, I'm taking a chance by doing this, speaking out against these false theories, because people are going to send me hate mail, and yes, you can contact me if you want and disagree with me, but I don't care. I have my Bible. What should I do? Throw down my Bible and listen to you? Is that what I should do? I don't care if you've been brainwashed with the pre-tribulation rapture theory. I don't care. My job as a watchman is to warn the people of God and tell them what the Bible says. So if you want to send me your hate mail and I see that it's hate mail, I'm going to delete it, and I'm not even going to use up my own time that is precious in God's eyes, because I need to prepare and share and bring the oracles of God to the people of God. If you want to email me and complain that I'm wrong, then save the time, because I'm not even going to read it. Once I get started, if I read one or two sentences, I'm not going to waste my time with you. I'm going to wipe the dust off my feet and hit ding, delete. So God bless you, but I'm not going to waste my time. I told you that I am a formerly trained Assembly of God minister. I went to Assembly of God Bible College. I'll tell you which one it was. It was Southwestern Bible College in Waxahachie, Texas, in the mid-80s. It's been 20 years, more than 20 years. But anyway, I was formally trained there, and then I also went to Christ for the Nations and got my degree in theology there. So I have been formally trained in the cemeteries, as some might say, and they served a good purpose. I did learn a lot of about Scripture, but the part about Bible prophecy is being taught wrong. Well, now, it might sound arrogant the way I'm saying this, but I have a passion about the people of God being lied to. I'm tired of it. The people of God need to know the truth. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, where am I? I got off on a tangent there, didn't I? Okay. Most importantly, we need to accept the fact and start preparing mentally, spiritually to endure, folks. In our future broadcast, we are also going to address how to do that. How do we prepare mentally? How do we prepare spiritually? How do we prepare practically with food preparation? What kind of food do we get? Are you actually saying that I have to store food and I need to go out and buy food? Yes, I am. I'm saying right now, folks, listen to me. It is May the 3rd, 2008. In the next few months, you're going to see food skyrocket. You're going to see gas go even higher than it is now. We're going to be past $4 a gallon. Let me say this. What we are witnessing right now on the news is making history. It will make history. We will look back. If the Lord tarries for 10 or 20 more years, we will look back at this year, 2008, and we'll be able to look and actually have to admit this was the beginning of the Great Depression in the new millennium. It's coming, folks. It is coming. There are a lot of people now. Whenever God sends judgment to a land, He always warns first. He warns the people because He has compassion on them. God has been giving visions to prophets and watchmen for several years now. And if you happen to know a prophet of God, I don't mean one of these prophets that goes to churches and everyone stands in line, and one by one they come to him and hands out a little Christian fortune cookie, you know, a word. Yes, you're going to get that job. Yes, you'll find a new wife. I'm not talking about that, the genie in the bottle prophet. I'm talking about the prophet of God that will walk in and say, "Thus saith the Lord, I have seen what is coming upon the land, and I'm here to warn you to prepare." That's the prophet I'm talking about. God is raising up many of those people, and He is trying to warn the people because He loves you. Now, all those prophets unanimously agree that we're about to enter a very, very hard future, and we need to get prepared. So, back to the question. Are you saying that I need to store up food? Yes, I'm saying that. I'm saying right now, don't buy the stuff that you were planning to buy, that little fun thing that you might want to be buying. I'm going to get a new flat screen TV. It's going to be neat with surround sound. I would say put that purchase off. Put that purchase off and instead buy some food, because it's going to be going up. First and foremost, buy food, folks. You don't want to be caught off guard. You don't want to be caught with your family hungry, where you have to go and stand in line at some government soup line and be dependent on Big Brother or the government. Because let me tell you this, the government in the future is going to slowly be turning into the arm of the beast. And what we see in Revelation, we see a police state that is worldwide, a dictatorship that is worldwide, where basically the Constitution, the freedoms that we once knew about and held dear, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, that's going to be history. That'll be the past. That's in our future. So we need to start realizing that. So yes, prepare with food. And we're going to discuss that. I'm going to have some broadcasts about that on our website. I'm going to have articles about how to garden, how to even raise animals if you have the room to have chickens or rabbits. We're going to discuss that. The purpose of this website, this ministry, brethren, is to prepare the people of God. Now, God in these last days, in the time of the end, talks about many that will fall away and turn from Him. In Matthew 24, we read that because sin abounds, the love of many will wax cold. God talks about that. In addition to them, though, let's go back to Daniel chapter 12. Okay, turn there. Take 1 second. If you need to pause me, pause me. Okay, are you there? Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Let's read this. It says, "Many shall be purified." Now, we just read that part. "And made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand." So there's going to be people that have no clue what's going on in the world. Even until the very end, where Jesus comes through the clouds on His horse, people are not going to have a clue that we're in the tribulation. They're going to be blind. They will not understand. It says right here, they will not understand. But look at the end part of this verse. Look what it says. And this is the part that I believe has to do with possibly you, hopefully. Hopefully it's you. Look what it says. But the wise shall understand. The wise. Who are the wise? And if they are wise and they understand, what do they understand? They understand what's going on in the Bible. They understand the events that are taking place. They understand the place that they have in time, in history. Now, these wise ones are the group of people that I am talking about. Now, let's go to Revelation 12, verse 17. It's also going to connect on this group of people. Because I want to show you with Scripture, everything that I'm telling you, Scripture will back it up. Okay? I'm not making things up. I will not give you a fable, brethren. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Now, look at Revelation 12, 17. And look what it says right here. It says, the dragon Satan was wroth with the woman. It's talking about the nation of Israel. Okay, so Satan the dragon had wrath, in other words, with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan is going to make war with the remnant of Israel's seed. Now, the remnant of her seed, who are they? Now, we've been taught another fable. Let me tell you this, okay? Another fable is that the remnant during the tribulation is the group of Jews who are going to get saved, because it can't be talking about Christians, because Christians are going to be up in heaven because the rapture rescued them, right? That's the fable. Christians aren't on earth, so some Jews are going to get saved on earth, and that's all the references to the saints or Jews are people that got saved after the rapture. Well, let me tell you something, brethren, that's wrong. All right? The remnant of her seed, who is that talking about? Again, letting Scripture interpret Scripture. Look, go to Romans 9, verse 6. Okay, if you need to pause me, again, I'm serious. Go there and read it. Don't just listen to me read it when I say it. I want you to go there and see it with your own eyes. Okay, so pause me for a second and go to the book of Romans, chapter 9. Okay, are you there? All right, Romans 9, verse 6. But it is not the word of God that has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel. Verse 7. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. Now, verse 8, look at this. Here we go. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. In other words, just because they are from the nation of Israel, that doesn't mean that they're the children of God any longer. We have a new promise now. But the children of the promise are counted as seed. Now, what's the promise? The children of the promise are counted as Abraham's seed. Let me give you a verse again. Scripture showing who are children of the promise. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Look it up. Are you there? Go ahead and pause me if you need to. Galatians 3, okay, here we go. 3:29. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There it is right there. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and also an heir according to the promise. So the children of promise are the ones that are saved today. All right, so getting back to Revelation where we just read, Satan went to make war with the remnant of Israel's seed. That's talking about the people who have been redeemed now. That's talking about Christians. And by the way, it says it right there, those that keep the commandments of God and those that have the testimony of Jesus. So the seed mentioned in Revelation, the remnant, are the group of people that God is raising up in these last days, brothers and sisters. He is raising up a group of people that Satan is going to hate and want to make war with. That means this group will be doing some damage spiritually to Satan, that he is going to want to destroy them. They keep the commandments of God. They have the testimony of Jesus. Now, here we are summed up. My burden is for those of you listening that are part of that remnant of God. Okay, brethren? I want to minister to the remnant. The remnant has a very, very, very special role in these end times. And it's going to take a few broadcasts. In fact, the one after this, we're going to even go deeper into what the remnant is going to do. But there are going to be people in the last days who are part of the remnant of God that are going to have an anointing that is just going to be so precious, so powerful, so miraculous that they're going to be used by God in such a mighty way, the remnant of God. I intend to play my part in training, in preparing, and in strengthening the remnant. Right now, this very day, God is raising that remnant up. Now, an interesting phenomenon is happening, by the way, in these last days. As the remnant is waking up, you know, I'm running across people here and there that are telling me, and by the way, the people that are the remnant as God is waking them up. You know, one of the symptoms that I'm noticing that they are displaying is that they are all unanimously saying a similar thing. They're saying, you know what? I don't feel like I'm being fed at my church anymore. There has to be more. There has to be something more. They're starting to realize and wake up and question the lies that they've been told all these years. And one of the great things that I'm witnessing also and noticing with these people is that they have no leadership right now. Their leader is the Holy Spirit, the remnant of God that is rising up right now. God is waking people up scattered in different areas of the country and of the world. And as He does that, these people have the Holy Spirit as their teacher. And what's starting to happen is these people are getting together, the remnant of God, and they're actually starting to have their own church services in houses. They're not going to regular church anymore. They're realizing that the regular church is dead. And what they're doing is they're meeting in home churches or in locations that are not their traditional established corporate church. And I think God is doing that for a reason, because He wants them to come out of the lies and He wants to start training them in the ways of what's coming. So folks, I'm excited about that, because together we are all going to play a role. And by the way, I am not the only watchman that is out there. I'm not the only one that God is raising up to prepare the remnant. I'm one of many. God is raising up watchmen all over this land. Keep checking back. I'm going to be writing some encouraging words to the other watchmen, because see, when God raises up a watchman, it's a very lonely job. It is very, very lonely. It's not easy, because in addition to waking up to be a watchman, there's a burden that God places in the heart of a watchman that is like no emotion you can imagine. I mean, the burden is so heavy and it doesn't go away, but it burns in their soul, in their spirit. And if you're a watchman right now and you've been one for a while and you're aware of it, or if you're new to this, I just want to encourage you to hang in there. And I know that it's lonely. I know that people make fun of you. I know that you get mocked. I know that family members think you're crazy, but you're not crazy, brother or sister. You are not crazy. The Holy Spirit has chosen you for a job for such a time as this. And I encourage you, God bless you. You hang in there. God sees what you're going through. So I'm going to have encouraging words for you. And God's raising up an army in these last days, brethren. So my burden is for the remnant and for the watchmen that are out there, and also for those that God wants to wake up. Now, some of you listening also might have family members that you're very concerned about, because they're not where they need to be with God. And you're aware of that and you're concerned. So my burden is with you. And I plan to make some materials that can be used to reach your family members. And if you have young people, maybe teenagers, or they're just young, maybe they're in college and they're part of the pop culture right now, they're lost and they have no direction at the moment, I plan to come out with some learning materials and some media that I'll be talking about in the future that you can show them, that I believe can be used to wake them up also. So this is a very exciting time. Thanks a lot for listening. God bless you. And so I want to say this, if God moves you to support, to help this work, then you pray about it. There's a place there where you can also support. So go there. And I don't want your support if God didn't lead you, but if God does lead, I would love your support. So check that out too. Okay, God bless, and we'll see you next time.